Further Review is brought to you by Consumers Beverages, Buffalo's beer store. Visit us online at consumersbeverages.com.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Further Review, Buffalo News, buffalonews.com. I'm Ryan O'Halloran, joined by Jay Skursky. As always, we're back from Detroit here on a Monday morning. And Jay, Taron Johnson, as he usually does, had a great quote in your story today saying, this was not a normal football game. And you could go 100 different directions on that. But since you focused on the defense, we'll get to Josh Allen in the next segment. But what is your level of concern right now with this Bills defense having allowed 40 plus two straight weeks?
I mean, it's there, but I think the defense actually did some good things. If you can do some good things in a game where you allow almost 500 passing yards and five touchdowns, but you know, listen, this game lived up to expectations. It lived up to the hype. It was what we thought it was going to be. It was a shootout. It was, you know, back and forth. It did go, Ryan, and disagree with me if you want to on this, but it did feel like the Bills were in control for almost the entire thing. I know it got a little hairy there at the end where it comes down to an onside kick, but the defense got a takeaway, right? The defense forced two punts by Detroit on their first two possessions. The Bills took a 14-0 lead, and it felt like the Lions were chasing the game from that point. We've seen Sean McDermott's defense play sort of a soft, keep-it-in-front-of-you style, especially when they have a lead. That has come back to bite them. We know that. 13 seconds, right? But I think it for as many eye-popping numbers as the Lions put up in this game, both offenses put up in this game, 1,080 total yards in the game, ridiculous total. I do feel like the Bills defense made some plays when they needed to make some plays. The turnover was huge. That you know, the offense punches that in and it's 35-14. At that point, you feel like you're going to win the game. You should win the game. And yeah, it got a little bit too close. I would have liked to have seen them get off the field at times in the fourth quarter. I thought that they made some errors there in terms of not doing that. But, you know, we'll talk later about injuries. I think for the situation that this defense was put in yesterday, they responded in an adequate manner. Not a great manner, certainly, by any stretch, but an adequate manner.
Yeah, and I think the Lions' plan A was, hey, can they run it down the Bills' throat? Well, they never got that chance. They went punt, punt. And I thought that set the tone for this defense is, you know, make the Lions one-dimensional, 14-0 lead. And, you know, they were chasing the game. The Lions were always a stop and a score from really – threatening the Bills. But one guy I do want to ask you about is there was an Ed Oliver sighting, and confirmed this in his locker after the game. There was a copy of the Buffalo News as motivation.
It's funny. I got an email just before we started. I read this, and it was a person thanking me for writing about Ed Oliver, saying you must have motivated him. And so I will gladly take all of the credit. I'm sure it was all me. No. Hey, 10 pressures, right, according to Next Gen Stats for Ed Oliver. I think I read most by a defensive tackle in a game this season. That's huge, right? And so that's what they need Ed Oliver to be week in and week out. He's got to be that type of a player, and he was that for them. And so, yeah, I thought Oliver stood out. I thought, you know, you see Rousseau making another sack. You know, they got some pressure on Goff, even though, you know, he was obviously able to still make some plays. And so, anything else jump out to you, though, in terms of the defense?
Yeah, I thought Christian Benford was good. You know, I think he'd only blitzed maybe four or five times the entire season. Bobby Babbage rolled that out early in the game as a sort of a tone setter on the second drive. Oliver gets the sack two plays later on third down. And then you mentioned that takeaway. That was the key play of the second half defensively. St. Brown had that catch over the middle. Benford forced the fumble, recovered eventually by Milano. The Bills did not score off that takeaway, but it really did sap the momentum, and the Bills were able to use some clock. So, I mean, the stats, as you said earlier, Jay, when you have a lead like that, the defensive stats are always going to be a little skewed because the Lions are going to be in pass. The Bills are going to play their coverage soft, keep things in front of you. And I thought one thing, if I'm Babbage and McDermott today, one thing that maybe you want to button up is, the only way that Detroit was really going to come back was score quick. Well, they did that a couple of times. So what can they learn from those quick strike plays if they have to go with some of these guys next week against New England?
Get your cold beer here at Consumers Beverages, where you'll find the largest selection of craft, specialty, import, and domestic beer. Consumers Beverages has the fastest empty container returns at all 18 locations. Visit ConsumersBeverages.com, Buffalo's Beer Store.
And Ryan, I'll use a little newspaper terminology here. We may have buried the lead in the first segment talking defense. Josh Allen, right? Three letters, MVP. I mean, the guy, week in, week out, is doing things that aren't just, you know, good. They're great. They're not even great. They're historic. I mean, he is, it seems like, setting records. The Bills PR department is working overtime trying to figure out what this guy is doing on a weekly basis that's literally never been done before in the league. I don't even know where to start with Allen, because he's, you know, we're almost out of things to say to define his greatness. But, you know, is this the best level of quarterback play you've seen? I don't know, maybe, you know, two decades plus covering the league. Where does it rank?
Yeah, I mean, you're getting now into the stratosphere, I think, of a Brady, of a Manning. Totally different players. Josh does it with his legs and his arm, but every Sunday night, the NFL sends out an email. It's called Seven from Sunday. Sort of the superlatives, the great stats from the 1 o'clock and 4:25 games. Literally the first seven bullet points were Josh Allen last night. And that shows you what kind of pace he's on. And the biggest one was first quarterback to have at least two and two rushing passing in two straight games. I was hoping he'd get that third rushing touchdown, because no quarterback has done three rushing touchdowns in consecutive games. One of the first quarterbacks in 30 years to have 250 passing and two rushing touchdowns in the first half of a game. On and on we could go. But he just looks so comfortable, so in command, so confident that you got the feeling. And I'll preface this saying Detroit was without guys on defense and they lost more guys on defense. Good teams take advantage of that. That's what the Bills did. Allen, Ty Johnson, who knew? Got Kincaid back involved. That was a positive. Got Coleman a long catch in his return. That was a positive. But you just felt yesterday that every time they had the ball, they were going to score. Yeah. And really the only, and you mentioned it in your story today, really the only bad check mark was how they flubbed the end of the first half, where they should have just used the big fella to cross the goal line and put the game away. But I'll ask you as a lifelong Buffalonian, this is high level in terms of Buffalo sports history right now we're witnessing.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the guy, you know, it's all but a rubber stamp in my mind at this point for the MVP. And that hasn't happened since 1991, Thurman Thomas. I mean, that is, you know, it's rarefied air for Josh Allen. In my mind, he's the best player in franchise history, I think. And you know, that's saying a lot, right? You got OJ Simpson and Bruce Smith and Jim Kelly and all of these Hall of Famers, but I think Allen is the most talented of the group. You know, I had said for a long time, you know, wrote about it in the mailbag this year, that I thought the stretch in 2020 when they won 11 of 12 games, the only loss during that time was a Hail Mary to Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins to lose to the Cardinals. I thought that was the best that I had seen Allen play in this offense play. They're exceeding it right now. He's exceeding it right now. Eight games in a row, 30-plus points. That's wild. That's a big number. Two of those now in, you know, 40-plus points. Even on the throws, Ryan, where you kind of, you know, maybe say, oh, that's not such a great idea. It's a great idea because it's Josh Allen, right? So he's rolling to the sideline, throwing back across the middle of the field. And I can count maybe one, two throws yesterday that look like they might have even potentially been in harm's way. And that's not, you know, and that doesn't even take into consideration the amount of throws that he made that were just right on the button, you know? And so he is, I think he is playing at a level. And you mentioned Hall of Fame guys. I mean, we're getting to the point where we're going to have that type of a conversation. Now, obviously, there's something that's missing on his record, right? You know, and something that's missing on his resume that I think would really solidify that for him. Dream big, right? You know, yeah. Because this team has shown they've beaten the number one seed in the AFC. They've beaten the number one seed in the NFC right now. They can play with anyone in the league. The Bills can win the Super Bowl. Will they? I don't know. You know, they've got to prove it in January and February. And we'll be there soon enough, but they can. They are one of the very best player or very best teams in the league, and it's because, in my mind, they have the very best player in the league right now.
Jay, we talked about the defense. We talked about Josh Allen. Now let's go to the sort of the negative side of that is this Bills team is the injuries are starting to pile up. Let's start with Allen. Went into the x-ray room. Joe Brady called the design run with 3 minutes to go. Allen landed on that right throwing shoulder. You could see him sort of trying to get it going. I thought maybe he hit his funny bone again, but he went in for the shoulder. He said it's precaution. He wasn't in pain. I mean, not to sound overly dramatic, they cut that thing off for him to not play Sunday. But yeah. But if you're Joe Brady, do you sort of have to massage some of those calls to get him ready for the playoffs?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, yeah, listen, while the number one seed is in play, I think you're going to see the starters go. I think you're going to see Allen go. We'll talk later in the show about, you know, sort of league-wide or especially AFC-wide where things stand. But, I tweeted during the game yesterday late in the fourth quarter. I think it's probably time to chill on the Allen runs, right? Mm-hmm. You do want to protect him, and that was a big shot that he took. And so, you know, injuries were a factor in this game, the Allen one notwithstanding. And you were in the press conference with Josh. I went into the locker room, so I didn't. What was your read on, you know, his concern level? Usually you can read that in the body language and in the tone, maybe more so than the words that are actually being said.
Yeah, it was the opposite. Remember a couple years ago with the elbow? He came into that Jet game down in the Meadowlands. You looked generally concerned, and it turns out he was right because it was a bad injury that he had to play through. He said this one, you know, and I asked him twice. He said it felt funky. So he said, hey, get it checked out as a precaution. I bet they'll do some other stuff later Monday just to confirm it. But, you know, he wasn't, you know, when a guy's in the locker room after the game and he's not getting treatment and he's not have a ice bag over his shoulder, I mean, I think he'll probably maybe limit him on Wednesday, but he didn't seem overly concerned about it. And as you know, this guy wears his emotions on his face. And mm-hmm. I think if he was concerned, you'd be able to tell. And so I think they're in good shape there. But on defense, Milano with the groin, Dorian Williams with the elbow, so their linebacker depth got depleted. But let's talk about that secondary. How do you think, you know, the Bishop Lewis tandem at safety instead of Hamlin Rapp, who are both injured? You know, what's sort of the heightened concern should that be?
I didn't get the sense that any of those injuries would be considered real long term. I mean, Rapp came back and was, I think, limited in practice on Friday. I thought that was a good sign. Hamlin's injury, you know, maybe a little bit more concern there. I do think, though, that maybe they're just being precautionary with those guys. I know you think precautionary in such a big game, but listen, you know, it was against an NFC opponent, no matter how you want to spin it, right? And so having those guys healthy and ready for the postseason, to me, is the most important thing. And, you know, you got Elam. He's you know, take him out of mothballs. He was healthy and active for three straight games, and he steps into the starting lineup. So I think we got to give this defense, you know, we talked about it in the first segment. Maybe we got to remember, like, hey, this is a defense that practiced once during the week, right? They had a practice canceled, and they had 75% of their starting secondary out. I do think that they're going to get those guys back, whether it be this week, you know, against the Jets. But I think they'll be ready to go come the postseason. The Milano one, you know, it's a groin injury. We'll see. You'd love to see him getting those game reps just to kind of continue to work back into the defense. So that's a little bit of a concern. Yeah, let's face it. The injuries are piling up here a little bit defensively. I don't know that I would say that I'm overly concerned about any one of them individually. But collectively, when you have that many guys out, it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, and Douglas, I think he's probably the biggest one there. Your number one corner. Milano, I wonder if they gave him too much too soon. Yeah. And, you know, he was out there a lot. You know, we got that totally wrong. We thought he would be sort of weaned into the lineup on third down. While he was playing first, second down, and, you know, base nickel, he'd come off the field and dime. So, you know, maybe it's time for them to sort of like, okay, let's just recalibrate him after, you know, three games. Bale Inspector's back. He can maybe hold down the fort in certain situations, maybe Dorian Williams. So, you know, I think of all those guys, you know, making sure Douglas is right for the first round of the playoffs, even if you don't see him until then, I think that's going to be a key.
And Ryan, we've got the Patriots coming to town on Sunday. If you want to throw a thought my way about New England, go for it. Drake May, rookie quarterback, whatever. Quite a different story when you're talking about New England these days versus the past 20 plus years. But You know, I think May's been okay, but this is a team that does not have a lot of talent really surrounding him right now.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing May being, you know, third overall pick. You know, they've committed to him. I think they have found the right guy, but they've just done a bad job building around him. The coaching staff's been under a lot of criticism, specifically the coordinator, Alex Van Pelt. And I think this is a game where if you're Sean McDermott, you're telling Joe Brady and Joe figure this out. Hey, let's throw to get a 2-touchdown lead and then just run it. You got 3 good running backs and just sort of take the air out of the football. Because this Patriot team upset the Bills last year in Foxborough with Mac Jones at quarterback. So it was Mac Jones. I think it was Bailey Zappe. But this Patriots team is in a total floor-to-ceiling rebuild right now.
Man, I completely forgot about that game until you reminded me. Yeah, that's you don't want that to happen. But let's focus more on the AFC race. And some really interesting games coming up here even before the Bills play Thursday night. Saturday, with this weird schedule coming up where teams are going to be playing on a Wednesday Christmas. And that's obviously the team that the Bills are probably most focused on right now, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes leaves the game in the fourth quarter yesterday against the Browns with a sprained ankle, or I shouldn't say sprained ankle, an ankle injury. We don't really know the extent of it just yet. But that could potentially mean that the number one seed is back in play here. So what do you make of the AFC race right now overall?
It's almost more interesting at the bottom right now because Denver has made a little bit of a run. Now they're in the sixth spot. So just real quick, if the playoffs started today, first round matchups, Chargers at Bills, Broncos at Steelers, Ravens at Texans. I think the Ravens would be Houston. But I mean, I think the Bills, if the Chiefs lose to Houston on Saturday minus Mahomes, okay, now you got something going because then the Chiefs got to go to Pittsburgh on Christmas Day. So I think, I mean, it's still a long shot, but, you know, the Bills have to be thinking, hey, just keep on winning and maybe the number one seed will fall to them. But I think the team playing the best right now of the non-division leaders is Denver. Yeah. They're stopping teams and they go to the Chargers on Thursday night. So that's a pretty interesting game as well.
Yeah, and you know, the win against the Lions is big in terms of maintaining that firm grasp on the 2 seed, right? Mm-hmm. Because now you've got a little bit of breathing room over the Steelers. The Steelers-Ravens is really going to be an interesting race now with Pittsburgh's loss coupled with Baltimore's win yesterday and what that means. But yeah, I think all the focus, obviously, for Bills fans, I think, should now be on Kansas City. You do kind of look back and think, boy, you're really kind of kicking yourself that Rams loss happened because – you know, if you were only a game out as opposed to 2 with 3 to play and Mahomes is potentially not 100%, it's maybe a completely different story. But, I've maintained that I think you want to maintain a level of sharpness, you know, for lack of a better word or term. And I think that the fact that the race for the 1 seed is not out of the question yet can be a good thing for the Bills because I think you want to keep playing at a high level going in. And so you're not going to see any resting of starters. To your point, Ryan, what would be a great sign for the Bills, hey, build a 3-touchdown lead, get Josh Allen out of the game in the third quarter against New England. You'd love to see that.
And that's just take care of business. You've been looking at the soft underbelly of this schedule the entire season. Patriots, Jets, Patriots. Take care of your business. You know, and this team seems to have done that pretty well throughout the season. So it's right there in front of them. But you know, I think yesterday was key because at the very least you want that 2 seed, which guarantees you 2 home games and makes it sure you don't see Kansas City until the AFC title game.
Yeah. And so if they do that, that would be a 14-3 regular season, exceeding my expectations, exceeding probably a lot of expectations. But as the old cliche goes, it is one game at a time. So Ryan and I will be back next Monday following the Bills' most recent game against the New England Patriots in Week 16 for the next edition of the Further Review podcast. For Ryan O'Halloran, I'm Chase Kirsky. Thanks so much for watching here at BuffaloNews.com.
Consumers Beverages, Buffalo's beer stores since 1948. Find out what our latest deals are by visiting consumersbeverages.com.